If you would take your Bible and turn with me to Acts chapter 16. Acts 16, we're continuing to look at the church, the nature of the church. This is simply, we started last week in Acts 16 and just looking at, for the sake of the gospel, the things that were happening. You know, Paul took Timothy and he circumcised him because he had a plan in mind. And he was going to, always went to the synagogues first to reach out to the Jews. And he wanted to keep the main focus on the gospel. And he took Timothy, he circumcised him. And they went about and they set out in a certain direction. And then all of a sudden God says, wait up just a second. You're going the wrong direction. Anybody ever been there where you just proceeding on like you think you're supposed to be going? And the Lord says, hang on, I've got another plan. And then you start, well, this must be where he wants me to go here. And you start in another direction, and he says, hang on, you're still going the wrong direction, right? This is exactly what's happening here with the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul is seeking to go on his second missionary journey. And as he goes, he starts out and wants to go and re-encourage and strengthen the churches and share the message that was declared at the Jerusalem Council in Acts 15. And the Lord has a different plan. So he goes another way, and the Lord says, you're still not going right. So now I want to teach you and tell you what's fixed to happen. If you would stand with me and let's read together. We're going to start reading at Acts 16, verse 6. Acts 16, verse 6. The Macedonian call, and they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas, and all of a sudden a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there urging him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. We want to be where God wants us, amen? And so however we get there, we'll talk about ways we are sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We interact with church with godly people of the church, and we follow His will, and He speaks to us through prayer and through the reading of the Word to get us where He wants us. But look at what's going to happen. As Paul answers the Macedonian call, God has a work. You know, Ephesians 2 says He's prepared good works beforehand that we should walk in them. He's got a work at a certain place in Macedonia. Remember the man crying out, come help us? So let's see what happens as he leave Troas and head westward and go to Macedonia. Verse 11, so setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace, and the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city some days, and on the Sabbath day we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul, and after she was baptized in her and her own household as well, she urged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my rescue and stay. And she prevailed upon us. And we're going to stop there for this morning. But guess what? There's other work to be done in Macedonia. There's a little servant girl that is going to have her demon cast out. And then there's a Philippian jailer. As Paul and Silas find themselves in jail, there's a Philippian jailer also that hears the gospel. And he and his whole household is saved. Then just around the corner in Achaia and Athens and down in Corinthians, there's also some people that got saved because God said, I've got people in this city that are going to be saved. And so it's very important that we hear the Word of God and we heed God's call to follow Him. Let's pray together. Father, would you open our eyes to see clearly this morning what you would have us see? Lord, I pray that at the very center of who we are as followers of Christ and part of the bride of Christ, that we, for the goal of your glory and for the sake of your kingdom, would be faithful. That we would worship the Lord Jesus Christ by surrendering and submitting our lives to Jesus. Lord, we just love you and pray that you'll bless our time this morning. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week we talked about for the sake of the gospel. This week we're continuing to look at for the sake of the gospel. I came across a little reading plan of one of my former professors, and he mentioned this book. that really talked about the Spanish Armada. And as I was thinking about the Macedonian call, I couldn't help but to think about those times and places in history where key important decisions were made that affected all of humanity and affected all of history. Think about those decisions. I mean, think about the wars. Think about the hierarchy. Think about the kings and queens and all of the points and times in history. And we know that God says He rules over the kings of the earth, the good and the bad. But I was thinking about this book that was referred to about Queen Elizabeth I there in England, and then you had Philip II in Spain, who was actually married to Queen Elizabeth's sister. And so he actually proposed to Queen Elizabeth I after he lost his wife Mary, and she said absolutely not. But what he wanted to do was he wanted to take over England. He wanted to just, I guess, put his foot on the monarchy there and, I guess, overrule them, because what was at stake was Catholicism and Protestantism. And there was a lot of other things at stake. But it's kind of interesting. I've not read this book, but reading some of the reviews and thinking about this point in time and thinking about the Spanish Armada and the 130 huge, massive ships that are all joined together with ropes, and they're moving across this body of water in a crescent shape. And to think about that, some strategic errors that were happened, and Queen Elizabeth and the England being able to prepare and combat this fleet of ships. But also one of the things that happened in this was you saw God's sovereign hand. Because not only did England overthrow them and was ready for them, and their cannons and their artillery was a little bit superior, and there was some bad leadership decisions made by the Spanish. But what happened was Queen Elizabeth was known for saying, God blew the winds. What is it? God blew, what's the famous phrase? Do y'all know what it is? Y'all don't know it either. Something along the lines of God blew His breath. God blew the winds and showed His favor. And that's exactly what happened. God had a plan, and He showed His power over this, and His providential rule and reign was evident that He favored England at this time. Now you think about what would happen if the Spanish had, we would all be speaking Spanish probably, right? Possibly. We know the 13 northern colonies, they wouldn't have taken the shape like they would have. Spain would have overtaken and ruled over the world. And now think about all the things that would have changed if God's sovereign hands and the winds hadn't blown and the ships, a lot of them were just lost at sea. I mean, once Queen Elizabeth sent the fire ships in and broke up this armada, it's kind of a neat battle tactic, right? She took 8 ships and evidently caught them on fire and just sent them in their barrage of ships. And once they all broke up, they just started just drifting. And they couldn't, you know, we know that the cooperative program, we're stronger together, right? This is kind of, we're a team, we're a family. You know, coaches are preaching at this time of the year. We, a chain, a weakest link is in a chain what is it? Don't be the weakest link in the chain. We know that once she broke up the ships, things dissolved, and it was a defeat. You know, the Spanish were defeated. So in looking at this Macedonian call, thinking about on the edge of history, Paul is traveling along. He's doing what he feels like he's to do. God's led him. Remember, the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. The church is moving in power. The kingdom of God is advancing. The apostles are doing miracles. And this is the second missionary journey that Paul is on here. And remember, he gets Timothy, he circumcises and says, come on, Timothy, let's go. Paul, Silas, and Timothy are on this journey. They're going to reach out to these churches. And God says, wait up. This is not where I want you. Verse 6, so they went through the region of Phrygia, Galatia, and having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. So that's where they thought they were going, in Asia. It says, when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia. So he thought, well, we'll go northward, right? So what happens when God moves us and speaks and says, this isn't, you know, we got to be sensitive. God closes the doors He wants closes, and He opens the doors He wants open. So once Paul sees this door is closed, the thing is, he probably thought, well, let's go up to the northern region. You know, he wanted to get to Ephesus, and there were other places there, and there were some key important places up there in that northern area of Bithynia and you know, big cities, and he thought it just made sense to go here. So he started this direction. And what happened? He was also stopped from going there, Mysia and Bithynia. It says they attempted to go in there, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. Verse 8. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. So now they're kind of close to this Aegean Sea on the western side there. And they're actually headed west. And so they're just at a standstill. Everybody ever been at a standstill in life where you're just confused? You don't know what I'm supposed to do, where I'm supposed to go? That happens. And I tell you, these can be very much faith-building times in your life. Just hard times. You know, I want to do the Lord's will. I'm trying to surrender my life to Him. And I have. And I feel like I'm in relationship with Him. But I'm just confused. I don't know where to go. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Maybe you're between jobs. Anybody ever been between jobs? Anybody ever been where you're struggling to make it? You know, you pay the bills. And you're like, something's got to give. I'm in just a tough spot. Lord, I need you to direct me. Maybe some family situations. Maybe a move is on the precipice. And you're just praying for the Lord to show you. And you're just sitting there. And you're just not real sure. Well, Paul is at this little port in Troas. And he is probably a little bit, somewhat discouraged. Okay, Lord, where do I go? What do you need me to do? This is a good time to pray, right? A good time to call on the Lord. A good time to seek godly counsel. A good time to really heed and study God's Word. Because God may not, we're not going to hear a loud audible voice most of the time. We're not going to be fortunate enough to get a vision like Paul is about to get. But God speaks through His Word. God speaks through godly, mature believers. God speaks through His small voice and as we pray and sometimes He closes doors and He opens doors. And with His Spirit guiding us in through us, we are sensitive to these areas, right? So Paul gets the luxury of hearing having a vision, though. Look what happens there. I guess it's verse 9. Verse 8, so passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. Now look at verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there urging him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Come over to Macedonia and help us. And when Paul had seen the vision immediately, we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now, I don't know what this vision took. I don't know what it happened. I wish Paul was a lot more descriptive, because I kind of get the, and this is kind of just thinking through this, I kind of get the idea that this man in Macedonia is in dire need of help. Like, if I could put emphasis where the emphasis lay, it was probably in the vision. Come on, Paul, and help us. We need some help over here. Now, I don't know that to be the case, but when you hear the word help, you think somebody needs help. Brother Ken used to, you know, he told me, he would take me duck hunting, and he told me that one day they were duck hunting out there in Swan Creek, and he could hear this guy help hollering, and it was early in the morning, and he, help! That's kind of what I get the picture here. Help! He could just hear it. So he rode his boat over there, and these guys that were hunting in a kayak, had turned over in the icy waters, and his body was shutting down on him, and he was really going to die, is what was going to happen. His body was going to shut down. He was going to freeze to death in that icy water at Swan Creek. And so Ken helped him, and they went back, took him back, got him warm, got him a change of clothes, and somehow, I guess, his body thawed out, and he made it. But I probably wasn't saying, hey, somebody give me a little help over here. I need some help. Hey, can anybody hear me? Y'all, hey, y'all, anybody hunting around this bush over here? No, he was probably screaming, help! I need some help. Anybody, somebody. I'm going to die. So maybe this vision, if we got a little more description from Paul, it was probably a man screaming and hollering for help. He needed help. Now, it's probably a good conclusion that Paul, as he was probably seeking the Lord, he was probably praying, he was probably talking with his godly counsel around him, which at this time, the third person had gone to first person. So they had turned to we, which tells us that Luke, the writer of Acts, has joined up with them to record these events. So now you've got Paul, you've got Timothy, you've got Silas, and now you've got Luke. So you've got at least four godly men seeking the Lord's direction, praying together, encouraging one another, seeking the word that they had together. And all of a sudden, Paul has a vision of a man needing help from Macedonia. Now, they thought they were going to stay on land. They thought they were going to, they had taken some important trade routes there. They had gone around, but now all of a sudden that this route, Macedonia, would lead them across the Aegean Sea there. They would continue to go west after being prevented from going southward and southwestward and then and also from going northward. So they're now going to go to the west. And this means that they're going to port there in Troas and they're going to get on a ship. And they're going to go to a place. Neapolis is about 10 miles from Philippi. There was a couple, Samothrace, there's a couple of stops they made. It took them several days and they would land and eventually Philippi, which is a very lead. It's not the capital of Macedonia, but it was considered like the gateway of Europe. And so what you've got here, guys, you've got the gospel going outward. You know, they had been in they're going up toward Greece. They're going into from Asia into Europe. And so remember the Word of God, Paul says, I'm sitting in chains, but the Word of God is not bound. Remember this call of God that He sends the people of God with the Word of God to go out and transform the world. Y'all, guess what? You guys are the church. We're sent outward with a mission to go and take the Word and transform hearts and lives. So as we get toward the end of this message, I'm going to call you to be a world changer. I'm going to challenge you to take the gospel. As we're talking about send the light, the blessed gospel light, it even made reference, Vaughn, in the singing to this Macedonian call. This Macedonian call is not just for these four men. This Macedonian call is for you and me and to go out and to share the good news, knowing that God is going to do a work and is doing a work. So they go and they go to Philippi and they heed and they submit to this Macedonian call of God. So just continuing to think about just some practical ways or challenges for us is first off, we talk a lot about this, knowing who we are, just our identity, just being confident in us being a child of God, called by Him, surrendering our lives to Him. You know, in Sunday school, we talked about worship. You know, worship is I love what Donna Whitney says, and Kenny, I know it until I start it, and then I'll forget it, and that's why I'm glad I got you here. But he says, worship is, I just put you on the spot. We'll put you on the spot. Focus, and I like that, focusing on and responding to God. And then the word worship comes from worth-ship, which talks about understanding the hierarchy of Him being King of kings and Lord of lords and us being surrendered and submissive to Him. In light of that, in light of knowing who He is, in light of knowing who we are and our call that's been placed on our life, to not be apathetic, to not be content, to not be inward focused. You know, Paul and Timothy and Silas and Luke could have said, man, we got us a good team here. Let's just have a good time and worship together. Let's just sing some songs together. Let's just take up a little offering and we could maybe down the road, if the Lord ever calls us to do anything, we could have that in the bank, right? We could put it in a checking account. It could draw a little interest. We could kind of be ready if we ever decided to be on mission for the Lord. We could do that and then we could kind of sit and we could tell good stories and you could tell about what God did for you and I could tell about what God did for me and we could kind of just, we don't really need anybody else. All we got us four men. And we're content. There's good fellowship. And after all, fellowship is one of the functions of the church, right? So we're going to fellowship together. We're making disciples because you're strengthening me and I'm strengthening you. And we're going to leave the evangelism part out. And then I was listening to this. I'm going to a conference tomorrow at the and I love it. Who's the guy that used to pastor at Decatur that when a real Central Baptist? Rob Jackson. They're doing on a tour of the state missionaries, which your Myers Mallory offering support. I went to a little seminar last week to that, and I'm going to a little conference tomorrow, and it's really good. Talk about the five functions of the church. Every dead frog must wiggle, right? I know y'all know that acronym. So every evangelism, dead, discipleship, frog, fellowship, must. I always get confused on this. That's the one I struggle with. But actually, the M is ministry. So every dead frog must wiggle, and wiggle would be worship. So these are the five main functions of that. Y'all just learned that. And we talked about how kids like to memorize things. And so that's what JD does for his kids. He teaches them these little acronyms. And Marlene, we love that because our kids love to memorize. And they can remember everything. So y'all know every dead frog must wiggle, right? Evangelism, discipleship, fellowship, must, ministry, wiggle, worship, right? So in learning these five functions, these men were probably doing most of them, so they could have been content, just like our church, right? Man, we can have some wonderful Sunday school classes together. We can encourage one another. We can take a little offering and put it in the bank. That way, if we ever decide to really go out, then we'd be ready. But also, I want to challenge you to let's really focus on that E. That's where a lot of churches really start saying, I don't know about that now. Evangelism? Guys, that's what's happening with the whole book of Acts right here. Evangelism. They got a little too inward focused. Guess what? God says, we fixed to rock this up. We fixed to shake this up. And it took Stephen being stoned for the people of God to start ministering and start moving out. All right? Then there were some other things that happened. He had to shake them up again. Guys, let me tell you something. Don't get too content here at First Baptist Church Fallful, because God's going to shake us up. And He is shaking us up. And you know how this works. We go through tough times. We seek the Lord. And we sometimes wait patiently. But let's not be content. Let's not be inward focused. Let's not be apathetic to the gospel. Let's be on mission. Let's be faithful. If God says, not now, don't go here, let's say, well, maybe He wants us over here. If He says, no, I don't want us over here, let's pray and seek Him until He shows us exactly where He wants us. I love what Rita's got this decorated back here. We're talking about the Word of God. It doesn't return void, and it's sharper than a two-edged sword. And what else do those bulletin boards say back here? You see it. It says the Word of God is, well, we know that it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So the Word of God directs us. Been thinking about Henry Blackaby. I'm getting around to that book she's got put up. There's a new stuff. Henry Blackaby's been around for a long, long time. But I think they revitalized that book and actually put some good discussion questions. That might be a good study for us one day to go back and revisit that. But one of the things Henry Blackaby says is find out where God is working and get involved. And he says stay where you are until the Lord quits working or until He moves you somewhere else. So what does that mean for us? Let us find out where the Lord's working and get involved. If He's not here working, let's find somewhere else and get involved. And if He starts working, let's stay there until He'll show you. He'll direct you. I mean, even if it takes a vision of a man saying, I need some help. Let me ask this question. Where are you hearing people needing help? Paul says, that's a pretty good indication. The Lord wants us to go to Macedonia. If I go to sleep tonight and I wake up and I hear somebody saying, you know, down the road and they need help, the Lord lays somebody on my heart, guess what? Probably need help. Who has the Lord laid on your heart? Who have you heard crying for help? Because there's people all around us needing help. Now, I can't help but to believe that this help he needs is, they're spiritual. They need spiritual help. You know, people come in, we help people with light bills, and we give them a little gas money, and we give a lot of help to people, but are we really helping them? They still going to lose their house. Still going to get their lights turned off. Still going to have trouble paying their medical bills. So it's kind of sad when some people say, I need help. We pull out a $20 bill and say, God bless you. Have a good day. Now, I'm sure they're thankful for that $20 bill, but is that going to help them? No. Sit down. Listen to them. See where they are. Offer to pray with them and then continue to pray with them. George Mueller had a most wanted list. Do y'all have a most wanted list? Who are people you pray for every day for salvation? You know, when we meet together on Wednesday nights, we need to start calling names, not just of people that are having surgeries and people that are homebound, and we need to continue to pray for those. They're important requests. But we need to start praying for a list of people that are lost. Who prays for lost people every day? They said George Mueller in his autobiography or you know, people that have studied his life said that he prayed for these people. And he believed God to save them. So he prayed for over 20 years for certain people. And he said everybody on his most wanted list came to faith except one, and I think one came to faith on his deathbed. And that makes for a good story. That's what I heard. I hope that's true because I'm telling it to you. But what if we were so intent on praying for lost people that we believed God to save them and we prayed for them daily until God saved them? I bet we'd go talk to them, wouldn't we? I bet we'd go share the gospel with them. This Macedonian call, this is an evangelistic call to go help the people who need Jesus. God, there are people around our community in trailer parks, in housing projects, in big mansions, in schools, in hospitals, in nursing homes that need help. They're looking for every type of anything that can bring contentment. They'll definitely let you pray for them because they think you're going to pray for their financial problems. They'll definitely listen to you because they know they're broken and tired and they know they're not okay. So true help is loving them, listening to them, and telling them about Jesus. sharing your testimony, sharing how what God's done for you. But you know what? We've got to slow down enough and understand, as Brother Kenny talked to us about worship, we've got to slow down and realize that worship is giving God the glory and honor that's due His name. And what that looks like is using our gifts to strengthen the church. It looks like evangelism and going down the street and sharing the good news of Jesus. It looks like making disciples. It looks like the Lord's Supper and communion. It looks like seeing God and your mission field as your workplace. Send the light. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And then He says, you are the light of the world. John 8, He says, it's pretty neat. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And then over in Matthew, He says, you are the light of the world. And we talk about send the light. You are the light. God, send us. Send us. Who will go for us? Here am I, Isaiah said, Lord, send me. Here am I, send me. I was thinking about some neat things to do, Vaughn. Maybe I was thinking, you know, I love to throw out some strategies. It doesn't hurt to dream and plan. You know, I was thinking maybe next month when outreach rolls around, maybe instead of taking our 5 or 6 people and going to impose on people's homes and families, maybe we take the grill out here, Dollar General, and we give away hot dogs. That'd be a neat outreach event, wouldn't it? That way, maybe some people that may be a little bit nervous about sharing their story, maybe they show the love of Jesus and let the ones that feel more confident sharing the gospel share. And what we'll do is, we know everybody in the town and all around the area is coming to Dollar General. We got this. We got the hot dogs. We got some smiling faces. We got some little church brochures. And people come up, we share the good news, and we tell them about Jesus, and we invite them to church. I bet you maybe we'll make more difference than the few paying people that we visit each week. I don't know. I think we should still visit. But we need to start thinking outside of the box, church. What does the Macedonian call look like? How are we relevant in our community? What are we doing to make a difference? Do people even matter to us? Do we care that they're lost and dying and going to hell? We know it, they know it, and we still don't even do anything about it. Just drive by our church anytime you want to. There's people on the playground or people on the basketball goal. Come talk to them. This is your church. Own it. It's your this is your area. So just see the kids out there. Go tell them about Jesus. All right? Go play a little ball. Oh, shoot some ball with somebody. There are people in your workplace. There are people in your school. These are people you connect with. Who's on you? Who are you praying for? Let's be diligent. Let's be focused on. And guys, I'm preaching hard because I'm preaching hard hoping I'll listen too. I do that. I want to practice what I preach, and I preach hard to y'all because I want to preach hard to myself. And we're way too focused on ourselves. There are people down around Macedonia saying, please come help us. Come help us. Paul gets over there and he immediately goes out and it's tradition that in an area like that, that the Jewish people, where there are 10 men would gather together in a little place. There's no synagogue. 10 men will gather together in the synagogue. He didn't find a synagogue. He didn't find any men meeting, but you know what he found? He went down, usually if he didn't have any Jewish men playing together, you could go down by the river out, and usually that's where people would meet. And so there's some people that are people like Lydia and a group of women that are reading the scriptures, trying to understand. And guess what? Paul finds them. It says a man was needing help, but the first person he found needing help was a lady. Paul and them begin to break open the scriptures, and Lydia, it says Lydia believed. She believed, and just like throughout redemptive history, God chose to save her and her whole household. Just like when he saves the Philippian jailer and he saves his whole household. Isn't that cool? Sometimes when moms and dads give their hearts to Jesus, the kids, well, hey, I want to do what moms and dad. I want to commit my life to Christ too. So Lydia and maybe some of these other women believe. There was people there. God had a plan. God had a purpose. Now what if Paul said, well, I'm going this way, bro. I can make a little more money down here. My family's a little more content. You know, I got some churches that I've already established. They need a little. Paul could have done anything he wanted to do to try to justify his actions, right? Or he could have said, okay, Lord, I'm listening. What do you say? And then after he said, I'm listening, maybe he started nudging and writing. Henry Blackaby would even say, go ahead and pray about it and start in the direction and write. Or maybe it says something about be still and wait. Isaiah 40:31, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. So maybe there's a time where we wait. Or maybe there's a time we start moving in a direction where God changes our direction. But the moral of the story is listen. Listen and obey. I think we sing a song, something about that, right? We sing a song that says, trust and obey. There you go, trust and obey. Trust and obey. That kind of seems simple, don't it? So when we hear, we obey. Now, thankfully, Paul obeyed, because what happened is the gospel went throughout Europe. There was five churches that benefited, that were established, that we know of. We know there was a Philippian church established. We know that there was 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. We know there was a Thessalonian church, which is the capital of Macedonia. We know that up northern, up a little bit north of there, we know that there was a place in Achaia, a place called Corinth. There was a church, two letters written to Corinth. So we got five of the epistles came from Paul's obedience. Now, I don't know about you guys, but those Corinthians and Thessalonians and Philippians, those letters mean a lot to me. So they're teaching all of Christianity, all of followers of Jesus, about what it means and who you are as a church and how you follow Him. And talks about, you know, Philippians talks about giving and joy and the offering and how to withstand persecution and how to remain faithful. And these letters were given because of Paul's faithfulness. These churches were developed because a man heeded and obeyed the call of God. Where do you need to drop the reins and trust Jesus to lead you? Where have you heard God say, this is where I want you, and you're still being hard and obstinate and not obeying and not following? Have you surrendered fully and completely to the Lord and Master, the Lord God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, His Son? Do you believe Him? Do you follow Him? Do you trust Him? We talked about giving as an act of worship this morning. Do you give saying, God, I believe that You own it all and that You've blessed me and I want to give it back to You and I want to give a portion of what You've given because I know You're going to continue to take care of me? Or do you squeeze and say, I need it. I need it. You do need it and you're going to continue to need it. But when you trust Him and give it all, give it to Him and say, Lord, You gave it all and here's a portion and I want to worship You. You say, Stephen, how did you get on this? Because I'm talking about obedience, church. I'm talking about following. I'm talking about faithfulness. I'm talking about using your gifts. I'm talking about sharing the gospel. I'm talking about living the Christian life. Paul heard the call, come help us. There's heavenly work to be done. The Word of God is moving. Will you be faithful? Will you be His ambassadors of Christ? Will you be a world changer? We used to take our kids to these retreats and these conferences where we were world changers, and we would go out and usually you would either put a roof on a house or you would do painting work, right? Painting or roof work. And both difficult. I mean, it was hot up on the roof, but painting, I think I'd rather do anything in the world besides paint, Miss Bonnie. I love and appreciate and respect you because you do it. And I guess if my life depended on it, I would do it. If not, we'll call Miss Bonnie. But I tell you guys, world changers, be a world changer. Be faithful to the gospel. Heed the Word of God. Surrender your life to the Lord and live for Him. Live for Him. If the Spaniards in Spain had won there and their fleet had overtaken England, the world would look a lot different. It would be the Dutch, it would probably be all Catholic, because it was a lot of that was over religion. You know, Protestantism was what Queen Elizabeth I said that she backed and defended, the Dutch and all the reformers of the day. This was just 1588. So they had all, we were fighting for religious liberty and Protestantism, which was, if Philip II and Spain had, with their big massive fleet, or Spanish Armada, had overtaken England, then we would be speaking Spanish. We would probably be Catholic, and the world would look a lot different, right? Paul was faithful to the gospel. God had a plan and purpose. It's funny to kind of think like that because I believe God's sovereign, and I believe He controls the winds, and He controls us. But at the same point in time, I believe there's an effectual call when He moves and He calls people to salvation. We know that He begins the work, He completes the work, He sustains the work. But somehow wrapped up in that, we have to be obedient. And we have to hear and we have to respond. And so I want to encourage you to let's not be too comfortable on our pew. Let's hear the people around us saying, will you come help us? Will you come help us? And let us think about any kind of innovative ways to go down the street, around the state, or even across the world to share the good news of Jesus and to see Him do amazing work to build His kingdom and affect all of the world. You are a world changer. 2 Thessalonians 5 says you are an ambassador of Christ. You've been sent from a faraway land under the lordship of a king. Will you be faithful to Him? Let's pray together. Father, we love You and we thank You for Your many blessings. Lord, You are good. You are faithful. Lord, we trust You. We love You. We submit to You. Lord, I pray that we would hear the needs around us, that You would be so real to us. God, if it takes a dream, if it takes a vision, if we hear through Your Word, if a still small voice, Your Holy Spirit speaks to us through prayer, God, through a godly mentor or person in the church, God, may we be faithful to You, using our gifts, sharing the good news, on mission, serving Christ our Savior. God, shake us up, move us out. But I feel like we get a little too caught up on, Lord, we get really focused on inward and what we can experience and obtain and how someone in the church can benefit us. Lord, but when we fail to realize we are the church and we're to be on mission for Christ. Lord, bless this invitation. May we respond to the good news. And Lord, to this call, this Macedonian call, Lord, that someone needs help, will You be faithful to go? Lord, help us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.